And for now, we are going to turn in our Bibles to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. And I'm going to read actually two separate passages, verses 1 through 5. And then we are going to go a little bit further on in that chapter and read 25 through 27. Both in John chapter 18. If you don't have your Bibles with you, there are pew Bibles. If you would like to have your own Bible, let me know. I would be more than happy to go and buy you a Bible just for you. Have your own Bible, because I believe a Bible should be in the hands of everybody. Chapter 18, verses 1 through 5, the Gospel of John. If you have your place in your Bibles, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's Word is being read here this morning, these first five verses. Starting with verse number 1. When he had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kidron Valley. On the other side, there was a garden, and he and his disciples went into it. Now, Judas, who betrayed him, knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. So Judas came to the garden, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches, lanterns, and weapons. Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen to him, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," Jesus said, and Judas the traitor was standing there with them. Now let's continue there in chapter 25. Let's move over to chapter 18. Let's move over to verse 25 through 27. And there'll be a contrast here. Verse 25, "Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, 'Aren't you one of his disciples too, are you?' He denied it, saying, 'I am not.' One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, 'Didn't I see you with him in the garden?' Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a rooster began to crow." Let's pray. Father, as we digest this scripture here from John chapter 18, Father, may the words in the Bible, in your word, be transforming to us today. May we learn a little bit more about Judas. May we learn a little bit more about Peter. May we learn a whole lot more about you. And while we're doing all that, may we learn a whole bunch about ourselves. So, Father, we just trust you that you will do a transforming work inside us. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated here this morning. Now, you might think, well, Mike, this is Advent. This is the Christmas season. Couldn't we talk about things Christmassy? Well, we kind of go through the New Testament. Right now, we're in the Gospel of John, and I want to kind of continue that. But I promise the Sunday before Christmas, there'll be a Christmas sermon. But today, we're going to talk about denial and betrayal. In all four of the Gospels, we read about 12 men who were very, very close to Jesus. And Jesus calls these 12 men his disciples. Their names are listed in three of the four Gospels. They're listed in Matthew chapter 10. They are listed in Mark chapter 3. And they are listed in Luke chapter 6. It's rather interesting. In each listing, in all three of those Gospels, the name Peter is always listed first. And the name Judas is always listed last. And here we are 2,000 years later. Did you ever wonder why one of these men, Peter, and now Peter's on this side, Judas will be over here, Peter is now held in high esteem, while the other man, Judas, has a name synonymous with evil? So let's talk about these two men here today. First, let's talk about what they had in common. They were both considered disciples of Jesus. And remember, a disciple is just a follower, someone who follows Jesus. Many people can be disciples of Jesus. They both closely followed Jesus for over 3 years. They both witnessed his miracles. They saw the blind regain their sight. They saw the lame walk. They saw 5,000 people being fed with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. They saw the winds being calmed, and they saw the dead come back to life, such as Lazarus or Jairus' daughter. They heard Jesus rebuke the religious leaders concerning truth. They were even sent out by Jesus at one point in time, and he gave them power, both of these men, power and authority over all the demons, to cure diseases, to cleanse lepers, to raise the dead, to proclaim the kingdom of God, and to heal. They not only witnessed the miracles of Jesus, they could also perform miracles. They had all of that in common. So now we know that that's in common. Let's get a little more specific about these two men. And because we are here at Beech Grove Church, students of the Word of God, we know much about these two men today because we can look them up right here. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about Peter first, and let's talk about his character traits. Well, I can say this. His character traits were like this. They were like a roller coaster. Peter was all over the map. He was prideful. He was outspoken. He was inquisitive. He was impetuous. He was brash. He was volatile. And here in John 18, we see Peter is a coward. And he denies even knowing Jesus. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. On the other hand, Peter, this same Peter, he had faith enough to walk on water, at least for a little bit of time. And he knew enough about himself to know that he was a sinful man. And he was also transformed enough to give the great confession. Remember in Matthew 16, Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, the spokesperson, says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The other disciple, Judas, what is his legacy? Well, in John chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, he was the one who got upset when Mary, Lazarus' sister, took a jar of expensive nard perfume and poured it on Jesus' feet. And what did Judas say? You know, that perfume could have been sold and the money given to the poor. But in John chapter 12, verse 6, the author, John, tells us that Judas was a thief. He really didn't want to give the money to the poor. We also know that he was the one who accepted 30 pieces of silver from the chief priest to hand over to betray Jesus to the religious authorities. And finally, we know in Matthew chapter 27 that he returned the money. He returned those 30 pieces of silver to the chief priest, but it says that right after that, he went out and he hanged himself. Not a very favorable legacy. But didn't they both do something terrible immediately after the Last Supper? Something to do with maybe those two words that I have up here on the screen? Weren't both of these two men failures? One of them, Peter, denies even knowing Jesus 3 times, and he's calling down curses as he's speaking. The same Jesus he just walked with for over 3 years. And the other man, Judas, betrayed Jesus in the garden with a kiss. Aren't both of these actions worthy of divine judgment, divine punishment of some sort? If someone denied or betrayed us, I don't think any of us would take too kindly of those people and those kinds of actions here today, would we? So why does one, Peter, go on to write two letters that are contained in the New Testament, being inspired by the Holy Spirit, being a pillar of the church and a martyr for the church, while the other man, Judas, is condemned to the pits of hell. Did you ever wonder? They were both failures. So let's look into this issue a little bit more, and let's answer these difficult questions here this morning. And for me to be able to answer these questions and give you the truths to you today, we must look at the answers to those questions from two different perspectives. One, we will look at it from the human perspective, from man's perspective. But then two, we must also look at this situation from God's perspective, from his view. First, let's look at it from man's perspective, from man's point of view. There's no doubt the difference between these two men, Peter and Judas, boils down to a heart condition. But what was their heart condition? Let's dig a little bit into their hearts here today. Matthew 27:2 tells us that after betraying Jesus, Judas had, here's the word, remorse. Had remorse. What is remorse? Well, if you have a bulletin, it's on the inside cover, top right-hand corner. I give you the definition of two words, remorse and repentance. Key difference between the two. What is remorse? Judas had remorse, a gnawing distress arising from a sense of guilt for past wrongs. Okay? A sense of guilt. Judas felt sorry for himself, for what he had done. On the other hand, we have Peter. After he denied Jesus three times, he did what? Luke chapter 22, verse 62 tells us that he went outside and wept, but not only wept, but he wept how? Bitterly. He wept bitterly. We also know that Peter wanted to make himself right with Jesus. And that, my friends, is repentance. To turn away from something, to make something right. So what is repentance? The definition in your bulletin. To turn from sin and dedicate oneself to the amendment of one's life. We see this heart of repentance by his reaction in John chapter 21 that we just read this week. When before Jesus ascended, Peter says, I'm going fishing. Anybody want to come along? And six of his disciple buddies go along, and they're out fishing in the Sea of Galilee. There's Jesus on the shore. Have you caught any fish? No, we haven't. Well, throw out your nets and you'll catch some fish. It was Jesus. It was the Lord. And what did Peter do? He wasted no time. He couldn't wait for that boat to get to shore. He had to jump out of the boat so he could be the first one to shore. He wanted to be with Jesus because he wanted to make it right. So let me say it this way. We have two fill in the blanks in our bulletin, and I believe you probably already know what the two words are. Judas was more upset about the fact that he failed than the fact that he hurt Jesus. He was more upset about the fact that he failed. For Judas, it was all about himself. He only felt bad for one person, himself. He never had a heart for Jesus. He had remorse. He had a feeling of guilt, yes, but he never had any repentance. Though he regretted what he did, there is no biblical evidence whatsoever that he repented, that he wanted to make it right. On the other hand, Peter was less upset about the fact that he failed than the fact that he hurt Jesus, his Lord. He wasn't just sorry that he made a mistake. Yes, he was sorry. Yes, Peter also had remorse. But he took it to the next level, which is where it needs to go. He was sorry that he had hurt his Lord, that he had hurt his Savior. So here's another way of looking at it. Let's bring it down to our level. Let's bring it down to 2019. Let's bring it down into Nelson County here for a second. If you do something wrong, here's something we all need to look at introspectively. If you do something wrong towards another person, are you more upset about the way that it's going to impact you, or are you more upset the way it's going to impact the one that you hurt? Ooh, tramp on toes. Where is your concern? Where is your love? For you or for the person that you hurt? Peter and Judas were at polar opposites here. Judas only had concern for himself. He only had the guilt and the remorse. Peter had concern for Jesus. He took it all the way to repentance. Peter had a heart of humility. And Peter goes on to write this in the book of 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. He says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you." Peter, what a transformed man he was. Peter understood humility. He understood repentance. He understood a transformed heart. He may have denied Jesus 3 times, and he may have gone fishing afterwards, but by golly, when he saw his Lord and his Savior on the shore, the only thing he wanted to do was to make it right and be with him. That's all Peter had on his mind and on his heart. So, from man's point of view, it was a heart condition, and we understand that. And that's the difference between the two. One heart, Peter, his heart was contrite and repentive. The other heart, Judas, was hardened and never got past remorse and guilt. Now, we've seen it from man's point of view. Now let's dig a little bit deeper and look at these two men from God's point of view. And here's where it gets a little interesting. We often ask, would we be like one of these two guys? If that was us in this situation, would we be like Peter? Would we be like Judas? Would we be like the other apostles? Don't be surprised if we all turned out to be sort of like Judas. And let me explain, okay? Let me explain. Because the Bible says this, there is no one who seeks God, not one. The Bible also says we have all fallen short of the glory of God. Ephesians 2:4, we are all dead in our trespasses. That is the unsaved person, will be called the natural man. Those who do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So before any of us put on our better than thou crowns and say that we would do exactly what Peter did and want to repent and make it right, let's remember that we are only in Christ because God is merciful and God is gracious to his own. Those he calls his elect, those he calls his chosen. We have 2 incidences happening here in that final night, and both incidences involve Satan, the evil one. Let's put them up here. First, in John chapter 13, verse 27, this is Jesus at the Last Supper. It says this, "Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him," into who? Into Judas. "And Jesus said to Judas, 'What you are going to do, do quickly.'" So we see that. That's where Satan is involved with Judas. And we see Satan, he wants a piece of Peter also. And Jesus says this to Peter. You know, when Jesus wants to get Peter's attention, he doesn't call him Peter. He calls him Simon. And he says this, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail." And guess what? When Jesus prays for you that your faith will not fail, guess what will happen? Your faith will not fail, okay? Because that's the way Jesus prays. Satan wanted both of them, didn't he? He wanted Judas and he wanted Peter, but he only got one of them. He only got one. Why? Because some belong to Jesus and some do not. Well, couldn't Jesus have prayed for both of them? He could have, but he didn't, did he? Why not? Because Scripture must and would be fulfilled. There would be a betrayer. It would go down exactly the way it was going to go down. There are prophecies in the Old Testament that were going to be fulfilled because they were messianic prophecies about this particular night. Psalm 41:9, it says this. Here's the prophecy, and I think you can see the relationship here. Even my close friend, someone I trusted, one who shared my bread, has turned against me. Now, who would that be? Who would be someone he trusted? Judas, right? The friend of Jesus. He shared his bread at the Last Supper. We know that. And what did Judas do? He turned against Jesus. And we have another prophecy from Psalm 109, verse 8. Says this, may his days be few, may another take his place of leadership. And we see that being fulfilled in Acts chapter 1 when all the disciples gather together and they say, someone must take the place of Judas who has gone to be in his place. And they cast lots and we know that Matthias took that place. So there are prophecies about this man that have come true. And there is another one here. And this is actually the words of Jesus from Mark chapter 14, verse 21. Jesus says this, the Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. He will go just as it is written about him. But woe to that man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. It's very simple. There was prophecy. Prophecy would be fulfilled. And one last one from John chapter 17, verse 12. This is in Jesus' high priestly prayer from John chapter 17. He's praying for his disciples, and Jesus says this. He prays this to the Father. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction. Why? So that Scripture would be fulfilled. So that Scripture would be fulfilled. Folks, 33% of this book is prophecy, and I guarantee it, before it's all said and done, it will all come true. Every last jot and tittle will be fulfilled. Here's a little bit of a story time with Pastor Mike here this morning. My very first opportunity that I ever preached a message, I preached at Keezeltown United Methodist Church in beautiful downtown Keezeltown, Virginia. And I still remember what I preached that day. I preached on John chapter 12, verses 1 through 5, the story about Mary pouring the ointment on Jesus' feet. When that service was over, I was standing at the back of the church, greeting people as they were leaving. And this one gentleman came up to me and he asked me this question. He asked me this, Mike, did Judas have a choice? I didn't know the answer. That question, great question. That question put me on a wonderful journey into learning as much as I could about the Word of God. So, what is the answer? Did Judas have a choice? Of course Judas had a choice. He had a choice. And his choice filled Scripture and fulfilled the prophecy. Listen, I know what you might all be thinking right now because I thought it too. Well, if it was God's plan of salvation, then God made him do it. No. Because James 1:13 tells us that God cannot tempt or cause anyone to do what? To sin. He can't. Judas did this all by himself because we all have something called volition, which is our ability to choose. And Judas made this choice and it fit right in with the prophecy that was given. The unsaved man or woman, left to his or her own devices, will fail. And Judas, not being of Jesus, failed. Along with the other religious leaders who were instrumental in putting Jesus on a cross. And I like what is written in Luke chapter 2, verses 22 and 23. We'll end with this, the last scripture I'll put up here. This is Peter giving his Pentecost Day sermon, and he says this. He says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know." Okay, well, we know that. But here comes the interesting part. Verse 23. "This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross." What we have here, folks, in verse number 17, is a very good representation of the sovereignty of God, which I have in light letters right here, and the volition of man written here in the blue letters. What's the sovereignty of God? There was a plan. It was a deliberate plan. There, Jesus would be betrayed. Jesus would go to a cross. It would happen at that time, at that place, right there. But how did it happen? Because wicked men did exactly what wicked men want to do. Jesus did not cause any of these people to do any of that. They did it all by themselves. If it's easier for you to understand the difference between Peter and Judas from man's point of view, okay, one just had remorse and the other had repentance, that's okay, because that's true. But please remember, going on in the background, there is a plan. And there was prophecy. And that plan would happen, and that prophecy would happen. And Jesus would be betrayed. He would be betrayed that night. He would be put on a cross the next day, and he would die for our sins for all who believe. Exactly the way God designed it all to happen. So let's get back to our original question. But didn't both Peter and Judas do something terrible immediately following the Last Supper? Weren't both of these men failures in big ways? Yes. Yes, they were. But one of them belonged to Jesus, and the other did not. And how can we tell? Because the one that did not only had remorse and concern for himself. The other had a repentant heart. The other had a heart who was seeking after his Savior. The one who wanted to make things right. And that, my friends, is the difference. So we need to look inward and ask ourselves, are we more like Judas and our guilt stops with the remorse and that's it? We're only concerned about ourselves. Or does our concern go to repentance, where we know that we have hurt the one that we serve? Do you belong to Jesus? And I'm not asking if he belongs to you. I'm asking, do you belong to him? Have you called on the name of the Lord and asked him to take you as his child? Because if the Holy Spirit is working on your heart, that's all you have to do. Surrender yourself to the Lord. It's really, really that simple. Something that Judas never did, something that Peter did. Let's pray.